Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. As was mentioned, the shiurim this morning, on the occasion of the last Kol Yom Rishon program of this academic year, are dedicated to L'Ilui Nishmaso Shel Moreinu Rabbeinu Avagon, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who, as we all know, passed away. Is it better? We all know passed away just a couple of weeks ago. And I thought that the best way to do something to honor his memory this morning would be to present some of his Torah thoughts, to say over a shiur which he delivered, and in that sense expose ourselves to some of his insights. The topic I selected for this morning relates to Yovel and Shemitah, and as Rav Aaron sometimes would say himself, and that for three reasons. First of all, this particular shiur is, to the best of my knowledge, not published any place. It's not been widely disseminated. And the truth of the matter is, I confess at the outset that I myself was not present at the shiur. It was delivered in his yeshiva, Yeshivat Har Etzion, 7.5 years ago, in advance of the last Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael, the previous Shemitah year. I wasn't present, but I saw the Mar Makomos, which he prepared, which were delivered to the students in the yeshiva at that time. I spoke with a colleague of mine over in MTA, Rabbi Eli Cohen, who was present at the shiur, and he also shared with me notes from another Talmud in the yeshiva at that time by the name of Udi Schwartz. I don't know who he is, but I looked at his notes and tried to reconstruct the shiur as best I can. And I thought that to select this subject would be an opportunity to hear some of Aaron's insights on a subject that I think has not been widely publicized and is not available in print. The second reason I selected this topic is that it is Minyan Diyoma. This is a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have Yovel anymore. We don't observe the Yovel anymore for certain technical reasons, but this is a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. And I know that probably throughout the year here at Kol Yom Rishon, there have been other shiurim relating to Shemitah, but it's always appropriate to study some of the dinim of Shemitah, even when we can't, living here in America, observe Shemitah exactly the same way they can in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the second reason, Minyan Diyoma. And the third reason I selected is because it's Minyan HaDesidra as well. This coming week, Sedra. And we're going to read Parshas Behar and Bechukosai, and Parshas Behar begins with many of the details concerning Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah makes an appearance again in Parshas Bechukosai, so it's Minyan HaDesidra. Actually, in Eretz Yisrael, they laid Parshas Behar yesterday. And they're going to read Bechukosai alone next Shabbos. That's this next week is the week we catch up to Eretz Yisrael. For those who are not familiar with what I'm referring to, this year, the last day of Pesach was a Shabbos in America, in Chutz La'aretz. The eighth day of Pesach was Shabbos. So that Shabbos, we laned the laning for Achron Shel Pesach. But in Eretz Yisrael, there is no eighth day of Pesach. So Pesach ended on Friday. So that Shabbos, they moved on to the next Seder. Happened to be Parsha Shmini. Well, we didn't move on to Parsha Shmini until the following week, so we've been behind for these number of weeks. So now we're going to catch up. Last week, they laned Bahar. Yesterday, they laned Bahar in Eretz Yisrael. They're a week ahead of us. Next week they're going to learn just so I will double up and we'll catch up in time for Shavuos. You know, people like to say over the chokhmas of their children. So I remember a number of years ago, we had a similar situation, not generated by the last day of Pesach, but generated the same idea, generated by the second day of Shavuos. Sometimes Shavuos is Friday and Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael, it's only Friday. So they move on Shabbos to the next Sedra, and we're behind and we catch up a number of weeks later. So that year, one of my older children was in Eretz Yisrael, and she came back in June. And we were sitting at the table Friday night, and she indicated that we're talking about the Parashas of Shavuah here, and she said, "You know, I heard this said already last week." So one of my sons, who was littler at the time, maybe he was 8 or 10 or whatever, said, "Wouldn't you, how'd you hear this said last week?" So I said, "Well, we're a week behind Eretz Yisrael." She said, "A week? I thought it's 7 hours." But the fact of the matter is we catch up. So that being the case, this is Minyana the Yoma, and Minyana the Sidra, and again, I hope I'll represent the Shia properly. So our point of departure are the Psukim in the beginning of this coming week Sedra here in Chutz La'aretz. So yesterday's landing in Eretz Yisrael, Parshas Behar, the first source, the first 13 Psukim, delivered to us details relating to Shemitah. So we look, for example, in Pasuk Dalet, it says towards the end of the phrase, Sodcha lo sizor v'chamecha lis lo sizmor, the Torah is outlining the prohibitions relating to working the land in the Shemitah year, not to plant seeds and not to prune the vines. Don't harvest the vegetables and things that grow by themselves, and don't harvest the grapes. And you're supposed to eat the food, and Pasuk Vav, etc. and at the end of Zion, Tiyeh Kol Tvosa Lechol. So those seven psukim refer to the Shemitah year. Starting in Pasuk Ches are details relating to the Yovel year. The first couple of psukim indicate how you get to the Yovel year. When you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, it seems very similar to what was just presented regarding Shemitah. Right? The second half of Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lo Sizro, Velo Siktu, Velo Sivtu Es Nizirah, right? Again, prohibiting certain activities with regards to the agricultural produce of the land, and the requirement to eat it. In the end of Pasuk Yud Beis, Tochlu Es Tevuasa, you eat it. So you're looking to compare the words, they're very similar. And so in terms of the Isser, the prohibition of working in the field, it seems that Shemitah and Yovel are pretty much the same thing. In fact, the Rambam tells us, if we look in the second source, Hilcha Shemitah v'Yovel Perek Yud Halacha Tes Vav, Din HaYovel B'Shvisas HaAretz V'Din HaShemitah Echad Hu L'Chol Dovar. The Rambam says, sort of emphatically, that the dinim of Shemitah and Yovel, with regards to the land, Echad Hu L'Chol Dovar, it's the same din, it's one rule. Kol Shas B'Shvias Mevaras HaAretz, also B'Shnas HaYovel, whatever is forbidden in the Shemitah year, sometimes called Shvias, the seventh year, whatever is prohibited in the seventh year is prohibited in the Yovel year as well. And the din peros nasi over achilu mechir and so on. All the dinim are the same. The Rambam has given you both the rule by saying echad hu l'chol davar, and goes on to explain certain details of what that means. But this is only with regards to meleches, work done in the field, and the kedusha, the sanctity attendant to the fruits, the produce of the land. Again, there's certain details about that. But what about other mitzvahs? Are there other differences? The Rambam seems to say that Shemitah and Yovel are the same, and they are the same in terms of working the land. If we look later in the Torah in Parshas Re'eh, it says in the third source, Perek Tesvav of Dvarim, starting in Pasuk Aleph, Miket Sheva Shonim Tasha Shemitah, and there it brings up something else not really mentioned, at least not directly, in the Psukim and Parshas Behar, namely what we call Shemitas Ksofim, that they are all loans, all debts are canceled during Shemitah year, as it says there in Source 3, Vizedvar Shemitah, Shamot Kol Baal Mashedo, etc., right? You're not allowed to collect debts, Kikar Shemitah LaShem. Rashi comments there in Parshas Re'eh in the fourth source that even though it says in the Torah it says Miket Sheva Shonim, it doesn't mean 7 years from the date of the loan. It's not that the loan is canceled 7 years. You keep a calendar, you find out when the loan was, and now you, 7 years later that is canceled. Rather, as Rashi says at the end of four, Halimarto Sheva Shonim Minyan Shmitos. The 7 years, so it's not necessarily 7 years. If you borrow the money in the 5th year, so it's only 2 years, etc. But anyway, that's the mitzvah with regards to Shemitah's Ksofim. So that is a difference, because we don't find anything about Shemitah's Ksofim, about loans being canceled with regards to the Yovel year. The Sifra, the Braisa, in the Taurus Kohanim, Sifra is sometimes called Taurus Kohanim, that's the Medrash Halacha. We usually think of Medrash as referring to Medrash Agada, stories and so on, and ethical messages, but we also have what's called Medrash Halacha on the different Sfarim of the Chumash, leaving out Bereshis, because they're not Halacha and Bereshis, but every other one of the Chamishah Chumash Torah has what's called Medrash Halacha, where it reads like a Mishnah, right? It reads the same speakers very often, the same Tanoim. So in the Sifra, which is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, in the fifth source, that's there in Parsha Beis and Ozvav, Parsha Beis, Ozvav, Mishnas Hayobah Hazal, Zu Motzia Avodim, Ein Shriyas Motzia Avodim. There is something else that takes place in the Yovel year that actually doesn't take place in the Shemitah year. If you look back in the first source, it says the famous phrase, Ukrosem Dror Ba'or Tachol Yoshvel, right, that's the pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell, that you proclaim freedom throughout the land. So that means that any avodim and avodivri who's working for many, many years, however the circumstances are set up, is released. That doesn't take place in the Shemitah. Frog goes back and forth. Should there be a parallel? Should there not be a parallel? And the conclusion is that this is a distinction. That, in fact, you look in the second line of five towards the end, Zu motzia avodim, vein ashrius motzia avodim. This idea of releasing the Eved Ivri, who is Eved La'olam, applies in the Yovel year, not in the Shemitah year. And at the same time, you look two lines from the bottom, in source five again, Vezeh dvar ha-shmita shamot shriyas mishamit ksofim, ve'ein yovel mishamit ksofim. Ve'yovel motzi avodim, ve'ein shriyas motzi avodim. So what you see is there are in fact differences between the Shemitah and Yovel year, despite the Rambam's assertion in source number two, Perek Yud Halacha Tesvav of Hilcha Shemitah Yovel, that rat, that din hayolu b'shvisa aretz v'din ha-shmita echad hu l'chol davar, it's exactly the same. In fact, it's not exactly the same. It is exactly the same only insofar as matters relating to the land and the produce are concerned. The Rambam himself tells us in Paskins in source 6, it's the very next halacha there in Perek Yud, halacha Tezayim, Yisera Shvias al Hayovel, Shvias Shmita has something over Yovel in that Shashvias Mishametes Ksofim below Yovel. Again, the Shmita's Ksofim. And Yose Yovel al Shvias, Yovel Motzi Avonim Umashmit Karka. So the Rambam is not unaware of this distinction. He brings it up in the next halacha. So therefore, even though the Rambam says a general rule, Echad Hulachol Dabar, that's with regards to working the land, but there are other differences. And the question we'd like to look at is, do these other differences reflect some kind of fundamental distinction between Shemitah and Yovel? Obviously, as we just saw, there are many parallels, but there are distinctions. And what do those distinctions point to in terms of understanding, perhaps, some fundamental difference between Shemitah and Yovel? The fact that the Rambam says, Echad hu l'chol dover, should not be taken, as Lichtenstein pointed out, as meaning a blanket statement. Yes. Right, and correct, we're clarifying, right. Only Shri Sasaritz, correct. But I'm saying if you just read that line, Echadu l'chol dover, you might, 100%, that's exactly right. He's not being contradictory at all. The very next halach explains what I just said before, I meant literally, only Shri Sasaritz, but other things like Shemitah's Enachami, correct. That's exactly right. The point being that the question is, I'm asking is, do these other distinctions point to any fundamental difference in the nature of these two things? Or is it a kind of a side point, so to speak? That's what I'm looking at. For example, to illustrate the point, the Rambam says in Hilchos Meiser, in the source 7, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, there's a difference between Truma and Meiser. Truma, both Truma and Meiser are gifts that are separated from the produce of the land, Truma given to the Kohen, Meiser to the Levi. So there is a din with regards to Truma that you have to take Truma, it's called Min HaMukaf, from the truma that I separate is from produce that is in the vicinity or the proximity of where I'm taking. I can't take truma from over here with regards to a field that I have someplace else. It has to be nearby. That's a din. And the Rambam tells us in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav that you don't ain't tzarich la'asim min hamukaf. That doesn't apply by Meiser. Even though in Halacha Zayin, the very next halacha, the Rambam writes, kach Meiser ain't ma'asim mizel zeh. He draws a parallel between trumas and Meisers. And kol shemana b'truma applies by ma'aser as well. Kol shu potem and a truma, potem and a ma'aser. So in that halacha, the Rambam says truma and ma'aser are the same. But again, as the gentleman just pointed out, they're not the same in every single way. In fact, that's an expression we have in Chazal itself. We have a famous Mishnah, for example, in Meseches Megillah, Dav Zayin Amud Beis, Mishnah, source number 8. Ein ben yontif l'shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad. The only difference in yontif and Shabbos is with regards to malachas that are necessary for the preparation of food. As we know, on Yontif you're allowed to prepare food, on Shabbos you're not allowed to prepare food. So that's what the Mishnah says, that's the only difference. So both Rashi and Tosa, I printed both, point out on the spot, well, that's not the only difference. The other difference between the Shabbos and Yontif is, for example, as Rashi says, l'inyan onshin, the penalty, the punishment for violating Shabbos is not the same as the punishment for violating Yontif, right? Because Shabbos, you get skila, you get you're executed by Bezin or Kares, and Yontif is a violation of a lav, it's a losase. So just because the Mishnah used the expression, the only difference, ein bein ela, doesn't mean that there aren't other differences in this particular area, exactly as the gentleman said before. In one particular area, they're exactly parallel. That's what Tosis points out. The shar chilukim yesh b'nayim, Tosis says, right? So there are other distinctions. In any event, so it's the same thing here. Shemitah and Yovel are parallel with regards to, as the Rambam said, Avodas Haaretz, right? Avodas HaKarka, Melechas HaKarka. But there are other differences. And again, the question becomes, what do these differences point to? The truth of the matter is, though, going further, we do find distinctions even with regards, even within the area of Avodas Karka. It's not quite as simple as black and white. If we go a little further, we'll see some subtle differences. The Minchas Chinuch points out in source number 11, Mitzvah Shin Lamed Hei, which is entitled Shelo Nesaf Peros HaIlonos Bishnas HaYovel. You're not allowed to harvest the fruit of the trees during the Yovel year. So at first he mentions that in many regards, Yovel is the same as Shemitah. Ein lahar ki haklal in yavodos haaretz in hefkar peres in yavir klush ha-shviyas shoveh ha-yovel ha-shviyas l'chol ha-dinim. Right? It's the same. We don't have to go into great detail here because he already explained it with regards to Shemitah. So he says it's the same thing, that they're parallel, just that Shemitah's Ksofim is different as everything we mentioned. However, he then adds something else towards the end of the second line. V'efshar olam alafi masha kasabnu le'el dibishvias anachnu mitzuvim al shvisas ha'aretz. There's a difference in the formulation that in the Shemitah year we are commanded concerning Shvisas Ha'aretz, that the land has to rest. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, back in our original source, V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem. That's the second pasuk base in this week's Sedrin Bahar. V'shav sa'aretz. However, by Yovel, the loksiv v'shav sa. We never find that expression that the land has to lie fallow, has to be unworked during the Yovel year. Okay, and in fact, he demonstrates that yes, of course, there are differences. Shemitah's Ksafim we mentioned, returning the land to the original owners, the Kiyas Shofar, the Kippur of the Yovel, that's only Yovel, not Shemitah. But the difference in terms of the Avodas Karka, there is a fundamental distinction that by Shemitah, the Torah used the expression, Vishav Sa'aretz, is the din of Shemitah Sa'aretz, and by Yovel it doesn't say that, and therefore he posits, according to the Rambam, that Ein Esei Klal B'Yovel, in Kain Eina Anachnu Mitzuvin Al Shemitah Sa'aretz. There is no particular mitzvah asay with regard to Yovel in terms of Shvisas Haaretz. What you have are restrictions against harvesting and cutting and so on and so forth, but not a mitzvah asay. If you look in the Rambam, and this will lead to three distinctions. The first one, look in the Rambam number 12, Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, look at his formulation. First, Halacha in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. Mitzvah asay lishbos. There is a mitzvah asay to rest in the Shemitah year, may avodas aretz, avodas ha'ilam, and so on. He quotes the pasuk, v'shav sa'aretz, Shabbos Hashem. V'chol ha'osem melacha, anyone who does work the land during the Shemitah year, v'shon hazu, or the trees and so on, bitel mitzvahs aseh, v'avar alos aseh. You violate an aseh as well as a los aseh. You fail to fulfill a mitzvahs aseh, and you violate the los ases of pruning and harvesting and so on and so forth. That's how the Rambam presents the law with regards to the Shemitah year. There's a special mitzvah asay. And if I observe the law, it's not just I didn't violate anything, but I was also mekayim a mitzvah asay. If you look in source 13, Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam is talking about Yovel, he doesn't say that there's such a mitzvah sasei. Mitzvah sasei lispor sheva shanim, you have to count the 7 years to count up to the Yovel, and ulekadesh nasa chamishim, to sanctify the 50th year, and he quotes the psukim, but that's it. Ushtei mitzvah sasei elu, mesurin lebezdin hagadol buvad. It's not the job of every single Jew every year to count, this is the first year in the Shemitah, the second year up to the Yovel, and so on. By Siris Omer, in the middle of the Siris Omer, now there we have a drush in the Gemara, it says, usartem lochem, every one of us is obligated individually to count the Siris Omer from Pesach to Shavuos, but that's not parallel, even though the words are similar. We read yesterday, Usartem Lochem, and we're going to read this Shabbos, Usafarta Lecho, it's very similar, but it's not the same, because when it comes to Siris Omer, every Jew has to count the Omer himself, and when it comes to the Sirif counting for Shemitah and Yovel, that's up to the Bezdin. In any event, glaringly absent in the Rambam's presentation in source number 13 is that there's a mitzvah asay lishbos. It just doesn't happen. Okay? And therefore, by extension, if a person did violate Yovel, you violated a los aseh, more than one los aseh perhaps, but you were not violating, you were not mevatel a mitzvah aseh. So that's a marked distinction right off the bat. The truth of the matter is, that's the sheet of the Rambam, but the Sefer HaChinuch evidently disagrees. Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Shin Lamed Beis, Mitzvah Kiddush Nas HaYovel, he says, V'over al zeh, V'over ad maso b'yovel avoda asura, he says, Bitel asei zeh, he includes under sanctifying the Yovel year, also a form of B'shav Sa'aretz. That's how the HaChinuch certainly could be understood. You don't have to learn it that way, you could say that's but again, given that the mitzvah v'kidashtem, to sanctify the 50th year, seems to be a mitzvah bezdin, as opposed to a mitzvah in every person, it's a little strange that the chinuch would say that an individual who worked during the Yovel year is mevatel this asay. Evidently, the chinuch understands, Sefer HaChinuch understands not like the Rambam, namely, that there is in fact a mitzvah asay to let the land lie fallow in the Yovel year as well, even the Rambam doesn't say that. The minchas chinuch on that mitzvah, Shin Lamed Beis, source 15, Lekadesh Nasa Chamishim, he understands that this is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Chinuch. Not everybody learns that way, but the Minchas Chinuch understands that. He says, towards the end of the first line, Mevur Midvarov, from the Chinuch's words, the Beis Inyonim Yesh Ba'asei Zo, Aleph Ha'asei Kolel Kol Shvisas Ha'aretz. The Minchas Chinuch understands that the Sefer HaChinuch, on whose work he's commenting, is understanding that there is a mitzvah of Shvisas Ha'aretz by Yovel too, not just by Shemitah, and therefore Ra'osim Alach Asura Chutz Masha'ovar Al-Halav over Gamkein Ba'aseizu Kimo Shemitah. So the Chinuch learns that it's the same, this distinction does not exist, And then he quotes the Rambam that we mentioned, that according to the Rambam, no, there's only a mitzvah on Bezdin to sanctify, but there's no particular mitzvah of a lo al chal hashvisa debut al chal Yisrael, like the Chinuch says. So it's a machlokas according to the Sefer, according to the Minchas Chinuch, between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. So that is a distinction, even with regards, at least according to the Rambam, is with regard to Shvisa Sa'aretz. If there's a special mitzvah to let the land lie fallow, B'shov Sa'aretz, to see that the land is unformed and untended and so on, that perhaps doesn't exist by Yovel as an independent mitzvah saseh. Yeah. Okay, that's also a difference. He's asking that there is a... Okay. Perhaps... comes right after Shemitah. Okay, could be, he's referring to the fact that there is a mitzvah called Tosefes Shvius, to add Shemitah, to start early. Like we have Tosefes Shabbos, we start Shabbos a little with Tosefes Yom Kippur, we start a little bit before, so Shemitah starts before, it doesn't have by over. Good, good, good horror. A second distinction is pointed out by the Minchas Chinuch. If you take a look at mitzvah, actually in mitzvah Shin Lamed Beis, he refers to something he says in another comment, in Torah 16, Minchas Chinuch on mitzvah Kuf Yud Beis. That's back in Parshas Mishpatim, Din Shemitah Sa'aretz. There, he says another interesting thing. Uve Shemitah, Torah 16, Im Ose Avodos Ha'aretz, if you do or see to it that work on the land is done, Kigon Shechoresh Sadeo Zero Kotze Al Yedei Akum, you have a non-Jew work the land for you during the Shemitah year. So then, although you didn't violate any of the losa says, right? Pasuk says, don't farm the land. Well, I didn't farm the land. I had someone, a non-Jew, do it for me. It says, don't pick the grapes. I didn't pick the grapes. The non-Jew say, don't violate the losa say. However, says the Minchas Chinuch, ach basay over, b'chol avaros karka filia de'acherim. However, when it comes to the mitzvahs, I said, that you have violated in the Shemitah year by having a non-Jew, because at the end of the day, the land wasn't unfarmed and untilled. In other words, by having a non-Jew do it, although you didn't violate the losa, says the Minchas Chinuch, but you have violated the aseh. Dichsiv shnas shabos on yila aretz. The land has to be, or has to be, the year has to be shnas shabos on. Mevuah gzeres hakosav aretz tishbo d'aretz tishbos. The land has to lie fallow. You say, you know what it's like? It's like having my animal. Or Kalem, she says, Kalem, she's behaved by Shabbos. I have my animal's going to do work for me on Shabbos. I'll set up my animal, he'll go plow the field on Shabbos. I didn't do anything. That's called Shvisa Behema and so on, without all the details now. Same thing, if you rent or you hire a non-Jew to do the work, that's a violation of the Aseh. So by Shemitah, and it really appears like this in the Gemara that he refers to, the Minchas Chinuch refers in Source 17, the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Bahare Sodeh, the Adam Mitzuveh al Shvisas Sodehu B'Shvias. A person is commanded that his field should not be worked, that the field should lie fallow, the field shall rest. Doesn't matter whether I'm doing the work, or I hire or I get somebody else, or I ask someone else does the work. The field has to rest. That's during the course of Mitzvah. So there's an issue, isser of, like we know from Shabbos, Amir l'Nachri, Amir l'Akum, asking a non-Jew to do it for me. Just like on Shabbos, I can't ask a non-Jew. Let's say I want to have a good hot, whatever it is on Shabbos morning. I didn't leave the lecha, I didn't leave the kachbar on, so I'll ask a non-Jew to fix me up a cup of coffee. That's not allowed on Shabbos. That's Amir l'Nachri. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to do anything you're not allowed to do yourself. Obviously, other than in emergencies and everything else. But in the ordinary circumstances, you can have an isser, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work that you yourself can't do on Shabbos. Memela says the Minchas Chinuch, he's quoting this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the same thing is true in a Shemitah year. I can't have someone else do work on my field that I couldn't do myself. But apparently, there is no such a din by Yovel. Because by Yovel, as we said before, at least according to the Rambam, there is no presentation of an assay. It says, you're not allowed to work the field. Okay, so I didn't work the field. Perhaps if a non-Jew works the field for me, that would not be a violation, technically, of the Yovel year. When it comes to Shemitah, that's how Rashi quotes, and that Gemara Barazor, Tashvam Beis, Divra Maskel, Adam Mitzuv, he says, Shnas Shabboson Yela Arts. But that's the Shemitah year. The year has to be a year of Shabboson. It's also interesting as a third, so that's another possible distinction between Shemitah and Yovel, whereas during the Shemitah year, again, you have an independent mitzvah of Vishav Sa'aretz, you have the implication in terms of having someone else do the work for you, and you also have a distinction in even the presentation, at least according to the Rambam, of the Surim. Because if you look in Source 19 and 20, This is the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs. Mitzvahs lo saseh reish chof. Lav number 220 is HaMitzvah reish chof hi sheziranu me'avodas ha'aretz. Working the land. Right? Working the land. The produce of the land. And number next one, reish chof aleph, HaMitzvah 221 is HaMitzvah reish chof aleph hi sheziranu ha'ilon. Working the trees. Two separate Isurim in the Shemitah year. Two separate Isurim. One is to work the produce of the ground, right, what we call perhaps in general terms vegetables, and a different one with regards to fruits of the tree. However, when it comes to Yovel, look in 21, in Yovel, Mitzvah Lo Saseh Reish Chof Dalet, 224, when it comes to Yovel, it lumps them together. HaMitzvah Reish Chof Dalet, Hishamei Avodas Ha'aretz Bishnas Yovel, and it says in the second line, Bein Avodas Ha'aretz, Bein Avodas Ha'ilon. Whether it's working the land, the ground, or it's working the trees, it doesn't matter. There the Rambam puts it, Yovel, into one. There's one general prohibition as opposed to individual mitzvahs. So that's another possible distinction. Again, it's very possible that the Chinuch disagrees with the Rambam on this as well. Because if you look in source, the next couple of sources, the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Shin Lamed Gimel, that's called Shelo Navod Ha'aretz Bishnas HaYovel, not how to work the ground during the Yovel year. Okay? And the next one, Shin Lamed Hey, 23, is Shalom Nesof Peros Ilonos Bishnas HaYovel. He counts them as two different mitzvahs by the Yovel as well. But again, at least according to the Rambam, there is this distinction between Shemitah and Yovel. Perhaps I say the Rambam disagrees. Now, there is another, again, we're trying now, so we need to figure out, obviously we've seen, again, to summarize very quickly, we've seen that although in many ways Shemitah and Yovel are in fact identical, there are areas where there are differences. The Rambam says, Din Echad, they have one law, but we saw already with regards to releasing Avadim, who are Avadim La'olam, the Yovel year, a guy, we're not talking about, in Shemitah there's also Avadim are released, but we're talking about the Avadim who agreed to work longer, right, to want to stay forever. Forever means until the Yovel, and we saw that Shemitah's Ksafim applies during the Shemitah year, not during the Yovel year, but even with regards to Avodas, work on produce, we also saw some distinctions, whether there's a separate mitzvah asay, for the land to be in a state of rest, that seems to apply by Shemitah, not by Yovel, whether there's an Isser to have a non-Jew, somebody else, do the work for you, that seems to apply by Shemitah, not by Yovel, and also the formulation of the details by Shemitah, there seem to be separate, at least according to Rambam, separate prohibitions, Mashen O'Kane, by Yovel. There are other things to point out, that also put to some distinction. The Sifra, I mentioned earlier, the Sifra in Parashat Bahar, this again is Parashat Beis, Parak Beis, Simon Dalet, Alacha Dalet, 24. We have a dispute about the following situation. What if, we mentioned earlier, that there are certain details of the Yovel year, again, you can look back in the first source, you have to sound the shofar, for example, on Yom Kippur, Shel Yovel. That was the Pusik back in source number one, Pusik test. V'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh b'asar ha'chodesh b'yom ha'kippurim taviru shofar b'chol artzachan. Some suggest that's where our minute comes from, to blow the shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. Funny idea, because they only did it once every 50 years, so we do it every year. Okay, but whatever it is, that's different opinions as to, different ideas as to what that Tekiah shofar at the end of Ne'ilah represents. But according to some, it's to remind us of the concept of the shofar of Yovel. But there was Tekiah shofar in the Yovel year. In fact, some of the dinim of Rosh Hashanah, Tekiah shofar and Rosh Hashanah, are learned by the Gemara out from some of the dinim that relate to Tekiah shofar on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year and vice versa. In any event, so what happens if they didn't do that? They weren't Mekayim that. So look in the 24, the Sifra. Yovel afal pishlo shmitu afal pishlo toku b'shofar. What if people didn't let the land lie flat? They violated, right? Or they didn't blow shofar. Or afal pishlo shilcho avodim. People did not release their avodim. Is it still a Yovel year? So the difference of machlokas, of Yehuda, of Yossi, some say one, some say the other. If you leave one out, that cancels, that ruins the status of the Yovel year. There are differences of opinion among the Tanoim in terms of the details here, there, but everybody agrees that apparently when it comes to Yovel, failure to perform certain aspects of the Yovel year will, in effect, destroy the whole character or the whole mission of the Yovel year. That's how the Rambam Paskin, you look in 25, Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, Parak Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel, Shlosha Devarim Me'akvin b'Yovel. They, in effect, hold back the Yovel. Tkiya, right, the shofar blowing. Shiluach Avodim, releasing the slaves. And Vahachzoro Sodos Lebaaleim, returning the field to the original owner, to the original family that owns it, and so on. Okay? Shmita Sakarka. So the Rambam writes that there is, when it comes to Yovel, an idea that our fulfillment of the mitzvahs properly
is what gives the Yovel its status.
That's what emerges from this Sifra. It's also Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. I forgot to put on the pages if you want to see it in the Gemara, but it's in the Sifra. And as I just said, that we just saw, the Rambam accepts this lahalacha. So here we have a very fascinating idea. Namely, that when it comes to the year of the Yovel, when it comes to Yovel, our observance of the mitzvah affects the character of the year and really gives it its status, so to speak. We do not see such a parallel with regards to Shemitah. And this may point us into trying to understand a little bit about the difference between Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah apparently, again, has to do with the land, right? Vishav Sa'aretz, there's something about the land, and that happens with or without our observance. It's supposed to be a year that's characterized as Shabbos of the land, or as the Torah says, Shnas Shabboson Yela'aretz, it's something in the year itself. With regards to Yovel, it depends on our fulfillment. So it's interesting, there's an important comment of the Ramban in his commentary to here in Parashas Behar, source 26. Ramban writes in the beginning of Parashas Behar, Perek Kafei Pasuk Beis, Shabbos Hashem, right? That was the expression that the Torah used. The Shavs are Shabbos Hashem. So the Ramban begins by quoting Rashi. What is Shabbos Hashem? In L'Shem Hashem, right? Dedicated to Hashem. But the Ramban doesn't like that. He says that's not what the Chazal meant by that. Every Shabbos, every Yontif is L'Shem, is L'Shem and so on, right? He says it means something else. In the second paragraph, and he writes strong language. He says, V'hinei b'kan oru osana b'sod gadol misodos ha-Torah. We're referring here, says the Ramban, to a very fundamental secret or fundamental idea among the secrets of the Torah. Okay, and it says Shabbos Lashem, it's Kiyom HaShabbat, it's not an accident. Shemitah is called Shabbos, Vishav So'aretz Shabbos Lashem, that's not an accident. And he says, V'kof oznecha lishmo mashini v'shay lashmiacha, listen, bend your ears, says the Ramban, lend me your ears, the Ramban writes, right? Lend me your ears, bend your ear to hear what I'm going to tell you, and if you understand, if you're Zohar, you'll understand. And he said, basically, that just like in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, we find that the 6 days, Sheshnei Bereishis, Hemimos Olam, Beyom Ashri, Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, Kivoya Shabbos Hashem HaGadol, that the 6 days are the creation, and the 7th day is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In effect, he says, and it's not referring just to the week, but it's referring to the human existence, right, that we have days of creation represent this world as we have it now, but Shabbos is the Yom Shekulo, Shabbos Unucha, L'chai Olamim, L'chai Olam Abo, and so on, that will come the ultimate Shabbos, if you will. Like we say in the benching, we refer to that, right? Rachman Achaleinu, Yom Shekulo, Shabbos Unucha, L'chai Olamim. So says the Ramban, the same thing is true about the years and so on in terms of the Shemitah. The Shemitah cycle, and he's not talking about Yovel, he's in the Shemitah year, he mentioned Yovel at the end, but he says in the Shemitah year, so the Shemitah is also the 6 years of normal creativity in the land, normal work is representing one plane of existence in this world as we know it, but the Shemitah year, that's the ultimate rest and so on and so forth. So a clear parallel is drawn by the Ramban between Shemitah and Shabbos. And the Meshech Chochmah, or Meir Simcha Devent, the Or Sameach comments in Source 27, very, very important. A mukar here again in Parshas Behar. It refers to the Ramban, right? So he says, we look at the start of the third line of 27, I'm sorry, it's not the third line in your printing. A couple lines down. Ulam laniyaz daiti nireh, the dina asu lashminam. This comparison to Shabbos, says the Meshech Chochmah, is not just, this is Shabbos, that's Shabbos, this is resting, that's resting. He says it's much deeper than that. He says, listen carefully. He says, the kemo de kedusha Shabbos chaluka mikdushas yontif. We're a couple of weeks from Shavuos, right? So just like, says the Ramban, says the Meshech Chochmah, Shabbos is distinct from yontif. The kedusha of Shabbos is different than the kedusha of yontif. The Shabbos kviya v'kaima. Shabbos is fixed. Shabbos is every 7 days from the time of Sheshes Mei Bereishis. It doesn't matter what you do, what I do, what Bezin does, what anybody else does. Shabbos is every 7 days. It's Kviya V'Kaima. The Yontif, Yisrael Mekad Shilhu, but Yontif, we sanctify Yontif. How so? Because it's up to the Bezin to determine when Yontif lands. Yeah, the Torah gives you the date. But when that date will come, let's say Torah says that Pesach's the 15th of Nisan. Yeah, but when will the 15th of Nisan be? Well, that will depend upon when Bezdin declares his Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right, so we have a hand in it. Okay, uviyadim lahakdim zman al-achro. It's within the power of Bezdin to make Yontif come earlier or later. Sometimes the Bezdin would declare a leap year. Not this year, it's not a leap year. Next year will be a leap year. You can declare a leap year and then push off Pesach. You can't push off Shabbos. You can't say, you know what, I'm very busy this Friday. I notice a lot of Jews are busy this Friday and they're expecting a big snowstorm, so we're going to push Shabbos off to Sunday this week. You can't do that, even if you have a good reason for it. You can't. Shabbos is fixed. Yontif, the Gemara says, when his Pesach was in the spring, if it was a late winter and the roads, such that they were in those days, were muddied and backed up, and it was a concern that the Ole Regel would not be able to get to Yerushalayim in time, so they would make a leap year. They'd push Pesach off a month. What kind of trick is that? The answer is because we have a role in Yontif. We have no role in Shabbos. Shabbos is every 7 days. Lo kein Shabbos kli v'kaima. Okay, so he says, just like we have that distinction, says the Meshech Chochma, between Shabbos and Yontif, kein chaluka kedusha shriyas mikdushas yovel. The same way there's a difference between the kedusha of the Shemitah and the kedusha of Yovel. The chol mashem hegel shriyas noeg b'yovel rak the Yovel talya im lo taku o lo shoch varam l'cheirus o lo zir karkoz. Oz mutter b'charisha uzriya v'ein a yovel klal. This is what he says. He says if you don't do the dinim of the tkiyah shofar and releasing the avodim and everything that's required during yovel, the year is not a yovel year. That's the Meshech Chochma. It's not a yovel year. And you can plant and do everything else. It doesn't matter. It's done. It's an all or nothing deal. If we don't do what we have to do to sanctify the yovel year, then all those requirements, all those restrictions are off the table. Okay? And again, he brings rise to this and from the Rambam and other places, Lo kein Shemitah, who kadosh me'atzmuso, dafkos of the Malkahi. Right? Shemitah is the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has sort of endowed Shemitah with its status, and nothing we can do about it to change it. Ve'eno tolo b'kdushas Yisrael. And that's why, by Shemitah, it says Shabbos Lashem. That's what Ramban was driving at, right? Shav Sar, it's Shabbos Lashem. It's Hashem's day. He's made that distinction. The Melech has made those rules. And that's it. We have no role in it. Okay, but lo kein Yovel, because Yovel, what does it say about Yovel? V'ki dashtem. You shall sanctify the, you, man, the Jewish people, you shall sanctify. When it comes to Shemitah, the Pasuk says, Shabbos, all right, Shabbos Hashem. Hashem has endowed the Shemitah with its sanctity. But when it comes to Yovel, it's V'kidash Tem, Shatem Magdishim Oso, Ki Yovel Hi Kodesh Tiyah Lachem. The word Lachem, just like we find by Yontif, Mikra Kodesh, he says, Yeh Lachem, right? Yontif is, it's up to us. Mishum shashmita moe al chidush ha'olam ki li ha'aretz kamo Shabbos. Shmita is like Shabbos in that it reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is control. Avol yovel moe al shiluach avodim. It's like Yetzias Mitzrayim, freeing the slaves, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we always say on Yontif, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, a very important comment, that the relationship between Shemitah and Yovel is like the relationship between Shabbos and Yontif, whereas Shabbos is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it, no, we have no say, I mean, obviously we have to observe Shabbos, but the Kedusha of Shabbos is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu only, whereas Yontif, we play a role, same thing, Shemitah is Shabbos Hashem, but Yovel is V'kidash Tem. So that's a very fundamental an important distinction, and maybe that's why, to go back to some of the chilukim we mentioned earlier, some of the communities mentioned earlier, maybe that's why, by Shemitah only does it say, there's a mitzvah saseh of Shav Sa'aretz. Shav Sa'aretz, because the land has to, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has declared, the land has to, you can't ask a non-Jew to do it, because it's got nothing to do with you. It's the land that has to be unfarmed, and has to be in a state of rest. Whereas in Yovel, it's what you do. And that's why we play a role in Yovel. That's the Meshech Chochma's point that Rav Aaron emphasized. In fact, just to bring the proof from the point, proof to the point, the Meshech Chochma alludes to it, but I printed it out for you in Source 28, Gemara Beitza, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara there says, what happens when Yontif and Shabbos coincide? Doesn't happen now with Shavuos, but you had a Pesach, right? The first and the eighth day of Pesach was on Shabbos, right? We're both on Shabbos. So what do you do with davening when Yontif and Shabbos coincide? It's actually different opinions in the Gemara Beitza Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. I printed the Rashi there. According to Beit Shammai, you have a longer Shmoneh Esrei. You have eight brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos and Yontif when they coincide. The first three usual, the last three usual, and in the middle you have the Shabbos middle and the Yontif middle. So the eight brachas. The Shabbos one will end Mekadosh Shabbos, the Yontif one will Mekadosh Shabbos Hazmanim, so you have a longer Shmoneh Esrei. That's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no, you say seven, and you get Yontif in there, but you only have to say Mekadosh Shabbos at the end, not Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. And the Rebbe says, no, Af Chosim Ba Mekadosh Shabbos Yisrael Vazmanim. There's a question of what the order is, and that's what's pivotal to us. If you notice, when it comes to Yontif, we always say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. On Shabbos, we don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'HaShabbos. Right? We just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. So how come in Yontif you don't say Mekadesh HaZmanim? Why we use the word Zmanim is a different discussion. But the Zmanim means the appointed season, appointed holidays, right? Why don't we just say Mekadesh HaZmanim, both in the Kiddush and in the Shmoneh Esrei? Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim. And if you're going to say it by Yontif, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does sanctify us, right? So why don't we say by Shabbos, Mekadesh Yisrael HaShabbos. We don't do that. And when Shabbos and Yontif coincide, we bend it around. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'HaZmanim. Right? Shabbos, Yisrael. Why don't we say, once you're saying it already, say Mekadesh Yisrael V'HaShabbos V'HaZmanim. So the answer is no. That, again, that's how Rashi explains. When it comes to Yontif, we play a role. Therefore, it's Mekadesh Yisrael. Yisrael, the Kachino Azmanim. It's Yisrael, the Jewish people, that are Mekadesh Azmanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role, obviously, and so do we. But when it comes to Shabbos, we don't play any such role. It's Mekadesh HaShabbos, regardless of Bezdin, regardless of the Jewish people. That accounts for that distinction. That's the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Yud Zayin. There's also an interesting Gemara, an important Gemara, in Brachas, source 30, Brachas Mem Tes Amad Aleph, which says what to say in the text if a person forgot to include Shabbos in the benching, and forgot to say Ritzei. So there's a special bracha, many benches printed now. You say, Baruch Shenoson Shabbosos Lemnucha. Shabbos is identified as the day Shabbosos Lemnucha. If it's on Yontif, I'm saying the Gemara outside to save a few minutes, but you can read it yourself in Source 30 Brachas, Mem Tetzim and Aleph. When it comes to Yontif, you say L'simcha. You mention the word Simcha. You know, when we have that in the Brachas after the Haftorah. Think back for a second, right? After the Haftorah, we say Ala Torah ve'avod ve'ayom, right? Yom HaShabbos hazeh shenosat olam Hashem Elokeinu l'kedusha l'mnucha. On Yontif, we say Ala Torah ve'avod ve'ayom whatever Chag HaMatzah shenosat olam Hashem Elokeinu l'sason l'simcha. Then you go on the same l'chavod l'sifores alakol etc. But Shabbos is identified as kedusha u'mnucha, right? On Yontif, it's sason l'simcha, and then l'chavod l'sifores. Now, again, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos, as we mentioned, has its beginnings in Bria Sa'olam, right? In the creation of the world, whereas Yontif focuses more on Jewish history. But one could perhaps suggest the following. Shabbos is defined by Menucha. I think this is what Aaron meant. Shabbos is defined by Menucha, right? The Kedusha is, in fact, defined by Menucha. It is characterized as a day of rest. Therefore, somebody who does melacha on Shabbos has attacked this nature of the day as being defined as a day of rest. If I do melacha on Shabbos, I open my store and I buy, I do all the things that are also on Shabbos, I have in effect weakened or been pogea in the kedusha of Shabbos. On Yontif, however, I mean, after all, Yontif, we also don't do melacha, right? Except for food preparation. So why don't we say in the bracha after the haftarah, or this gemara in brachas about the benching, why don't we say also on Yontif? We could also say Yom Chag HaMatzah or whatever. There's menucha on Yontif too. Why don't we say the same phrase just for consistency purposes? Why there's not menucha on Yontif? We all take a nap on Yontif too, right? There's menucha on Yontif. So why isn't that mentioned? Not only simcha. The answer is because on Yontif, the isra melacha is not inherent to understanding the nature of the day. The Isra Melacha is not like Shabbos, where if I do Melacha, I've attacked, so to speak, the Kedusha of the day. Yontif, there's a Chiv of Simcha. If I do Melacha, that's going to take away my ability to have proper Simcha. I'm going to open my store, and I do my business, I'm going to worry about all my mundane, regular week activities. What kind of Simcha is that? Even if you like your job. It's not Simcha, right? The Isra Melacha on Yontif, perhaps, is a means to a different end. So we stress the simcha. Perhaps you could say the same thing in regards to Shemitah. In Shemitah, the land being unfarmed, right, leaving land lying in a state of rest, is inherent to the very essence of defining the Shemitah year. Whereas Yovel, not working the land, is a means to a different end. A means to a different end. We have to figure out what that end is, but it's a means to a different end. The Isra Melacha on Shemitah is essential to the character of the day, or in the case of Shemitah, the character of the year. Okay, just like on Shabbos, the Isra Melacha is inherent to understanding the nature of the day. Masha'ina kan on Yontif, the Isra Melacha is to enable us to engage in Simcha. And in fact, according to many, this is not the time. That's precisely why food preparation is permitted on Yontif. That's exactly why. Because if you tell people, okay, you're not allowed to do any work, you can't even have fresh food. So what kind of simcha is that? Again, this is part of a different discussion, not for right now. But according to some, According to some, the Shagas Arya writes like this, and others, that in fact the Isser, the Heter, what we call Ochel Nefesh, food preparation on Yontif, is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif. To the extent that there's some question, you know, why isn't it allowed on Shabbos? Isn't there mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos too? And that's a whole discussion. Is there Simcha Shabbos? Not Simcha on Shabbos. What about a day, you know, what about other days? It may not be Simcha and so on. Without going into the details now, what we're saying is that when it comes to Shabbos, Issur Melacha is inherent to the nature of the day, whereas on Yontif it's to lead to a different end, and perhaps that same distinction, Simcha, Meshach Chochma is suggesting, perhaps that same distinction is with regards to Shemitah and Yovel. Now, next couple of sources, we don't have time to go into it, but Rashi comments in Parashat Bahar, it's really based on a Mishnah in Shri's Parakhes Mishnah Vav, and I printed the Rash, Mishnah Mishnah's commentary, that the whole idea is that on Yovel you do things, in Shemitah rather, you do things differently. Even when you are allowed to farm and harvest, and then you're supposed to do it in a different way, that may not apply by Yovel, but we'll leave that aside for now. What is this other goal, so to speak, to figure out? We just said that on Yovel, you know, the Isser Melacha and so on is not inherent. That's why there's no special mitzvah asay of the Shav Sa'art, is to lead to something else. So that requires a little more imaginative thinking. But perhaps you can suggest the following. You look in the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh, 34, Dvarim Perek Tesvav. It says, this is talking about now Shemitah's Ksofim. And he says there's an obligation to make the Shemitah year and so on and so forth. Just look at the very last line. It says, the idea is Shabbos Hashem, V'chol Hama'asim Yishbosu. All activity, all, shall we call it, business activity, whatever, should cease during this year. And that's including Shemitah's Ksofim, right? That's the whole idea of canceling loans. This is not a year to be collecting loans and so on. Kol ha-masim yishbosu. And that's the idea of Shnas Shabbason, right? There is, if you will, according to Ramban, a tziruf, sort of a combination, if you will, between the Shemitah's Karka, right, when the land be unfarmed, and Shemitah's Ksofim. And you need both of them to characterize the year as Shnas Shabbosim. Whereas by Yovel, we said before, there is no Shemitah's Ksofim. If that's the case, and the logic is, if Shnas Shabbosim, a year of rest, is defined by, as the Ramban suggests, a combination of Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksofim, not working the land and not collecting loans, if that's what's necessary to create the atmosphere of Shnas Shabbosim, then by definition, when Yovel doesn't have Shemitah's Ksofim, then it's not Shnas Shabbosim. Right? I mean, if you need both ingredients to create Shnas Shabbosim, what we said before, Yovel has no Shemitah's Ksofim. So therefore, there's no, it's not characterized as a Shnas Shabbosim. What then is it? So the Klei Yochar makes an interesting comment in Parshas Bahar, again, Per Kofhei of Vayikra Pasukhez. He says, Kikemo Shetziva Lekadesh Hashon Hashvius Leida Lodia Kila Shem Haaretz. The purpose of the Shemitah year is to let people know that Hashem owns the land and so on. Kach tziva lekadesh ha'sachmishim lahodia ki yesh gvul v'kitzva l'chol ma'asov. To teach man that he is limited. There's a limit to everything we do. V'chiyu eino ba'al asada behechle. You're not going to own this field forever. Even if you bought a field, it goes back to the original owner in the Shemitah year. Right? It goes back to the original owner about the before. Elohu kiger ba'aretz. That's what a Klei Yochar suggests. And at the end, he goes in a different direction. But for our purposes now, Klei Yochar is saying there's a different goal. In Shemitah, the goal is, like we said before, Hashem is the master of all. It's his land. In Yovel, the goal is to sort of remind man that he's transient. It's man-oriented, like we were suggesting all this time. Right? A human being, we're transient. Nothing we do is permanent. Right, not, nothing. We have a limit, 50 years, and so on. Again, the language of the Klei Yochar, ki yesh gvul v'kitzva l'chol ma'asov. At the same time, you look in 36, the Ramban, here in Parshas Bahar, again, Perek Kofei Pasuk Yud Yud Aleph. The Ramban discusses what the word Yovel means. It's unusual. So what does Yovel mean in English? Jubilee. Well, that doesn't help. So what does Yovel mean? You know, where does the word come from? It's like asking, what was tefillin? Phylacteries. That's not much help, right? So yeah, what does Yovel mean? So he says, the word Yovel refers to a word that typifies the freedom. It's the drawer. It's the freedom. And he brings a pasuk. Lahovil means to bring somebody. I think it's used in modern Hebrew also. Lahovil, to schlep something, to bring something, right? Lahovil. So he says the Ramban, During the Yovel, everybody can go back to where they live. They can live wherever you like. Oh, Yovel, he's why Yovel, Yuval Kol Ish El Achuzasol Mishpachto Yovilu Raglav Merachok Lagur, brings people back and so on. I'd like to suggest, I stress, I did not hear Lichtenstein's Shias, so I don't know if this was the point, but I think these Marmakomas he was trying to suggest as follows. Perhaps the idea of the Yovel year is the same time to emphasize to man his transience, his impermanence, his inability to control everything for all time, but at the same time to tell man the potential that he has. And people can live here, can move, people are free, or you're free, you can accomplish, you get together with the family and so on. That's the essence of the Yovel year. It's not, or not only, a year dedicated to Hashem, that its land lies unplowed, unfarmed, land lies in a state of rest, dedicated to Hashem like Shabbos, but it's something else. It's for man to think, now one second, it's something beyond. What is my role in the world? On the one hand, what I do is transient and impermanent. On the other hand, I can accomplish a tremendous amount. And those who are familiar with the writings of Rav Soloveitchik Zalman Brucha, familiar with this general motif, the tension between man as a creative and man as the pinnacle of creation that can accomplish so much, but at the same time the need for man to recognize his own limitations and restrictions and so on, that's a theme which again throughout the Rav's writings and throughout the Rav Aaron's writings as well. Now again, the last few stories I printed before I come to the final point, the last few stories, to be honest, full disclosure, we saw already that not everyone agrees with every prat that we said. The Chinuch, we said already, disagrees with the Rambam on a number of things here. And in the next source, 37, I quote from the Sefer HaTrumos, one of the Rishonim, Shar Mem Hei Oz Dalet, he says in the name of the Baal Amor, that Shemitah also requires Kiddush Bezdin. You know, we were emphasizing that only Yovel requires Kiddush on the part of, an act of Kiddush on the part of Bezdin, but not Shemitah, because Shemitah is like Shabbos. So again, full disclosure, the Shemitah quotes the Baal Amor, that's the same thing by Shemitah as well. But, and this machlokas perhaps has nafkaminas lahalocha. For example, there's a Gemara in the Darm Daf Samech Aleph and Aleph in 38. You know, when counting the years, does the Yovel year again? So you have one years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is Shemitah. Then next 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is Shemitah. Okay, now you get up to 49. Year 50. Is that one of the next cycle? No, you had 49, Shemitah, and now the 50th year is Yovel. Is Yovel the first of the next set of seven? Or no, it's like a blank year, and then you start. What's that machokas in a number of places I printed in Dorm Samach Aleph and Aleph? Perhaps that revolves around this question. Is Yovel fundamentally just similar to Shemitah? Or is it, you know, is it something by itself that it stands on its own? So that machlokas may play a role. It's interesting, I just printed, because it's in this week's Sedra, in Parshas B'chukosai, the Torah tells us, you know, Parshas B'chukosai is characterized as the, as containing the klolos Shabbatoros Kohanim. The curses, the tochacha, the rebuke of the book of Vayikra. In fact, that's why we lay it before Shavuos. That's why we're catching up to Eretz Yisrael of Shavuos, right? In order to have this done by Shavuos. So we lay the tocha of, we make a weak barrier in between. The Gemara says, the end of Megillah, is supposed to read the klolos Shabbataras Kohanim, the curses, the tocha of Chukosai before Shavuos, a week before Shavuos. We do it 2 weeks before Shavuos. We don't want to go into Shavuos, which is bad news in our minds, so you read it the week before. But in any event, the tochacha says some of these punishments will happen, as it says in Vayikra Perek Chavov, Pasuk Lamadal, Oz Tir Tzor to Shabbos. You'll be driven out of Eretz Yisrael, then the land will lie fallow. You didn't keep Shemitah properly, that land's going to lie unrested, in a state of rest. Either because you're going to let it rest, or because you're going to be kicked out, it's going to rest by itself, right? Again, so I don't have time now, but you look at source 40, I printed the Rashi in Parshat Kosai, you can read it at home, it's this week's Sedra. He has a whole calculation of how the 70 years that the Jews were in Bavel after Churban Bayis Rishon corresponded precisely to how many Shemitahs they didn't observe after coming to Rashi as a whole Cheshbon. Now the question is Yovel counted in that or not? Right? Is Yovel like Shemitah? Yovel not like Shemitah? Rashi does count Yovel in the Cheshbon. And okay, so it's the same, similar idea. On the other hand, by the way, I just printed a Pesukim in Divrei HaYomim, the last 42 of the last three Pesukim in Tanakh. A lot of people don't know that. The last three Pesukim in the whole Tanakh, Divrei HaYomim Beis, Perek Lamed Vav, says that the Jews were driven to Babel, Lamalos, Dvar Hashem, Befi Yirmiyahu, Ad Rotzeso, Oretz Hashem Soseo. The Tanakh ends with a reference to Shemitah. How do you like that? Very fascinating. Right, the very end of Tanakh, the whole very end of the Kisra HaKodesh, is a reference to Shemitah. The Gemara in Shabbos, I printed in 43, Lamed Gimel Mod Aleph, says that Golos comes, okay, Bavon Gilei Arayos, Exile comes as a result of failing to observe Shemitah. Gemara Shabbos Lamed Gimel. Rashi says, when they quote the Gemara Shabbos Oseh, I just mentioned Shemitah, not Yovel. In Perkei Avos also, Perkei Mishnah Tes, it says that Al Shemitah Sa'aretz, he only mentions Shemitah, not Yovel. So again, this Machokes, where there's a distinction, Yovel and Shemitah may play a role in this issue as well. I just want to end, if I may, with one citation that hammers home the point. And again, our suggestion, if I understood Rav Aaron's approach in this shir, and if represented it accurately, is that there is a fundamental distinction between Yovel and Shemitah, and the idea is that where Shemitah is parallel to Shabbos, and that it's Shabbos Hashem, and that's it, it's like Shabbos, it's automatic. Shemitah requires our playing a role because its design is for something else, namely, as we suggested, for man to recognize his transience and at the same time his tremendous potential. They printed a number of years ago some essays from Lichtenstein. This is called Leaves of Faith, The World of Jewish Living, Volume 2. Just want to read because, again, he writes so beautifully. He's talking here, it's called Thoughts About Shemitah. Nothing to do with what we discussed today, but he has some very interesting comments and conclusion. He says that he's talking about the state of Shemitah today. This was written, I think, 20-something years ago, a few Shemitahs ago. He says that there is no need to investigate the purpose and intent of the mitzvahs related to Shemitah. They are plain to see. At least three strains may be distinguished. As with the weekly Shabbos, the Shabbos of the land instills an awareness of God's absolute and exclusive ownership of the land and his authority over it. On the other hand, it liberates farmers from the drudgery of everyday chores in order to afford them time for the contemplation of eternal issues. In Rav Aaron's language, it clips man's wings, yet enables him to fly. Very beautiful, you know, and it really fits in what I just said before about the Yovel. Third, it has a clear democratic strain and provides equality for great and small and so on. But he says, what remains for us today of this enchanting vision? Nothing but a hollow shell. Because we have there's been a transition from agricultural economy to industrial and so on. And for most people, you know, he writes, they need not circumvent or distort the prohibitions. They're simply lucky enough not to confront them. What we've set up today in Eretz Yisrael, and he's not blaming anybody, it's just the reality, is a way to avoid Shemitah. Whether it's a Het HaMechira or not the Het HaMechira, Otzer Bez, whatever. So, you know, there's basically a way to avoid, the whole problem. And he writes, this is our situation today with respect to the agricultural aspect of Shemitah. In the formal sense, perhaps, all is well, but we are not fulfilling the mitzvah of giving the land its Sabbath of complete rest. All of us, those who support and oppose the Heter and Mechira alike, are not so much observing the Shemitah as avoiding its observance. Right, that's what we're doing. Right, I do not see any way to improve the situation in the foreseeable future. But at least, and this is key because it typifies Lichtenstein's Ahal Bracha, but at least let us feel the pain of it. At least, you know, there's no way out. This have to live in our society. At least let us feel the pain of it. Since we have no choice, we will make use of all the heterim and other means of circumvention, and we will bow our heads before the sad reality. But we will not, nay, 1,000 times not, make peace with it. We will admit our failure and regret it, and hope that God will provide what is missing. And then in a postscript that he wrote a further Shemitah a few years later, I'll just conclude. He says, and now he says it's even easier, right? You go to Eretz Yisrael today, you barely notice it in Shemitah, right? And probably some of us went this year. It's almost, you know, everything is business pretty much as usual. This heter, that heter, all halachically sound and everything else. He writes, three Shemitah later, that is perhaps the saddest change in this halachic tragedy. The assuaged pain, the muted cry, the pallid response. Calling in the routinized order to the greengrocer, I, and I trust I'm not alone, hear a prayer in my heart. Al tashlichenu mefanech, v'ruach kachach al tikach mimeni. Do not cast us from before you and do not remove from us your Holy Spirit. Let us at least realize the ability to feel the loss, to commiserate with the Torah, bereft of the realization of so wondrous a mitzvah. And he ends, ironically, Al tashlichenu lezikna, do not cast us out in our old age. Let not the passing years numb the pain or dull its expression. If we are indeed destined to be spectators, nay, in part actors in this halachic tragedy, give us at least the power to recognize our role and to respond accordingly. This is an individual who understood both man's greatness and man's limitations, which suggested perhaps as part of the fundamental notions of the Yovel year. And let us at least take pause during this Shemitah year, we don't have Yovel, to maybe contemplate some of the points that he mentioned and recognize the way things, you know, perhaps cannot be right now, but as he said, to at least feel the pain of not being able to do what the Torah originally mandated we do. Thank you very much. Have a good morning.